Josh Accardo, the one, the only Slam Pig Podcast. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome to the place where the shit goes down. It's like 8 in the morning. I'm on my way to Orlando to see the Rolling Stones. Big day for me. Big day. But before I head off, I wanted to make sure that I got this episode out, especially in the current climate of our society. I was fortunate enough to sit down with Mia Isabella. Now, Mia Isabella is a very well-known transgender porn star, adult film star. But not only that, Mia's also been in the show Sons of Anarchy, and she also voiced the first TS character in the history of video games, pretty much. I mean, Grand Theft Auto is the most famous game ever. She was the first character to ever be transgender and in that game. So she's done a lot of shit. But the cool part about it was being able to sit down, and she was super open and very nice and sweet and sexy. I mean, really sexy. When you see her, you'll be like, oh my God, this woman's incredible. But we talked about everything from the Caitlyn Jenner. At the time, he was Bruce, because this was a couple weeks ago. But the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing, we kind of talk about. No better person to talk to about it than her. And we got to always jump into her transformation. And I was super intrigued to just sit down and talk with her, because I didn't want to do a normal interview where people are like, so, when did you know you were this? And when did you... And what about that? Like, I didn't want to also be over-sexed about talking to her, even though she is an, you know, adult film star. I really wanted to do the interview to just talk about what the reality is for her in her life, you know? And a lot of great things she talked about, stuff that I would have never thought of, how supportive her family was. Like, just a lot of cool stuff, you know, that she's gone through that I was able to talk to her about. And I think that all that stuff is, it's really beneficial for everybody out there to hear it. I don't claim to be any pioneer of any sort, but I do pride myself in the fact that the show not only is very casual, but and that's purposeful. You know, like, it's not a big studio show. It's a show where I can actually get down and kind of make people feel at home. And I feel like I do that pretty well. And I feel like in this scenario, she was amazing, came in and really, really opened up and gave us a piece. Plus, the chick is sexy, man. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, you can say whatever you want if you have hang-ups about stuff like that. But she's very pretty. She's very sexy. And you're going to like it. So I think you should check it out. Well, once again, see, I'm the luckiest guy ever. I mean, and luck is a relative term. Like, I don't necessarily believe in luck. I think it's like hard work. It's a lot of hard work to be surrounded by good-looking women. It's not an easy thing. And I am really lucky today, because not only do I have my girl, Lainey, who's here. She will not be speaking, but she probably will be laughing because I'm so charming. And I have a very, very special guest that she's brought in. I have Mia Isabella. Please say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Now, for those of you that don't know, if you haven't had a chance to Google yet, you know, listen to the interview and then Google. But Mia is transgender. Mm-hmm. She's a porn star. And she's banging hot. Banging hot. Like, seriously, I'm not saying that because it's my radio show and she's nice enough to come in. It is true. She's very, very attractive. Now, I have a million and one questions.
Okay.
See, I'm obsessed with making stuff as unique as I can, because I know that you've done a billion interviews about being this and being that. So I try not to over-research anyone I have on the show.
Good.
But with you, I looked you up enough to know what I wanted to really ask you about. Okay. Because there's such an interesting dynamic from being transgender and that whole side of developing that and figuring out that that's what you really are, which I'm sure you've talked about a lot, right?
Of course.
And then there's that aspect of who you are now, which is what you actually are, right? Mm-hmm. And then what that vision is. And then the fact that you look really good. So there's a lot of things I can touch on. So I'm going to start with a story. I have a really interesting story that relates kind of to your position. And I would love to open up with this story.
Okay.
So when I heard I was going to have you on, I was searching my mental Rolodex.
Okay.
And about 4 years ago, I was sitting in this hotel room on the road about to do a show,
and I turn on HBO, and there was this Real Sex piece on about this transgender porn star named Vanity.
Yes.
Okay, so we all know who Vanity is, obviously.
She's a good friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
So I'd yet to... I'm a pretty sexual guy, like really freaky, but it's, you know, like still in the evolution of what my kinks are, right?
Okay.
Never ever had I ever thought that I would find anyone that was once a man attractive.
Okay.
So they show this piece on her where her, the majority of her fans are straight. So, and she's breathtakingly beautiful. She's very beautiful. So then I go, well, fuck this. I was in a really freaky mood. I pull up my iPad. I start searching like videos. I end up getting off to her, but I found that once, it was a cool thing because I found that the part that didn't get me was when the guys would start blowing her. That's where I would check out.
Okay.
So it just wasn't my kink, which is totally fine. But everything else, I was like, every time she was being treated like a woman, it was on. So is the majority of your fan base straight men, right?
Of course.
So when you were, let's just start at the beginning for people so they have some context of you, and then we'll jump into like more exciting stuff. So you were born and raised where, if you don't mind me asking?
I was born in Chicago in the suburbs. I was raised in the South in Tennessee, and then I did my teenage years back in Chicago to finish school early.
Okay, so you're a Chi-Town.
Yeah.
You're Chi-Town all the way.
All the way.
What is your ethnicity?
French, Puerto Rican, and Jamaican.
So that makes like a perfect kind of like canvas for you to turn yourself into like a female presence, right?
I suppose.
It's like a... There's something about, like, I know a lot of Asian women and a Latin
They're very easy to transform.
Yeah. Sure. So, how old were you when you first decided, like, I'm something else. This is...
4 years old is when I actually recognized gender roles. And then it seems like in a lot of cases, in true transgender women or people in general, they usually recognize gender roles very, very early when they're being told that this is the way you're supposed to be. And they're like, no, this is not how I feel. So, at 4 years old, I recognize my gender role as female, as girl. My family took that very seriously, so I was lucky that I had the support from them.
Oh, so they were very supportive.
Yes.
And I'm sure now, especially now with the whole Bruce Jenner thing, which I'm not even going to, whatever, that's been talked to death, but especially now, people are finally, it's a huge conversation.
Yeah.
Are a lot of people reaching out to you even more so now talk?
Yeah, especially when that happened. I was doing media about 3 weeks ago. I did a big press junket in New York and Chicago as well. And that was the topic of conversation with Bruce Jenner and that whole thing. So definitely they wanted my opinion on that and what I thought about the situation. So we talked about it for sure.
In the industry, are you one of the, like I said, I didn't want to over-research you, but I would have to assume that you're one of the foremost authority in your industry about TS. Aren't you one of the more popular?
I would imagine so.
So name a couple other people that are up on your level that are like... Because I know Vanity, I haven't seen her around a lot lately, but then again, that's not really...
She's a contract girl with our company, so she's definitely still popular in that world. So I would say myself, Vanity, Bailey J, she's a New Yorker now. She's been doing a lot of stuff, and she has a really cool, very relatable look.
Yeah.
There's quite a few girls.
Is it a close-knit community?
No.
Really?
No. I think that's probably one of the male... attributes that we keep is that competitiveness.
Okay, but see, look, that's funny you bring that up, because I'm thinking like women can be catty and be passive aggressive till you want to jump off of a bridge, right?
Yeah.
But men want to like deal with that shit right away. Right. It's like, fuck you, and that's that. So you're saying that you guys still hold on to those traits.
I think as far as that any specific trait being male-oriented, besides the genitalia, I would think that would probably be it. That would probably be it for sure.
So when did you start your transformation?
I got to live my gender role throughout my years growing up. Surgically, I had my first surgery when I was 18, my breast. And then just kind of evolved from there.
Now, for those of you at home, just to give you like a little prep, Mia's like curvy. And your arms are incredible. We were talking about them before. They're super feminine. And that's like one of the, like, shoulders and arms. That's usually the hardest thing for someone who
needs hands.
Hands. And you have very feminine hands,
little
too.
Hands. Little tiny feet.
You have tiny feet?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, she does have really tiny feet. So everything, you're, like, killing it. And you have a huge dick. Isn't that, like, you've been blessed in a lot of ways.
For this specifically.
I mean, granted, if you're a man with small feet, small hands, and a huge dick, you still probably...
I'd still be winning.
You do well.
I'd still be winning.
And you're, like, 5'5", right?
5'3".
You're 5'3"?
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like, you're right, they really did have a mix-up. Like, super tiny, you're super feminine, but they gave you a huge dick.
Yeah. Isn't I was like, ha-ha.
I'm not a big God guy, but isn't that great? If there is someone making decisions.
I'm going to make something hilarious. Perfect.
So when you were when you were going through transformation, it's a constant thing, right? It doesn't just... Because now you look, I mean, I would assume, is this the best you've ever looked in your opinion? The most feminine? Do you have an era where you think you were better?
I think before I did my facial feminization the last time I had work done, before this phase, I think I actually was more natural looking then. Mm-hmm. But I think I photograph more beautifully now.
Yeah, yeah. Then. So I went to your website and it is...
That's my old face. That's
your old face.
Yeah.
I think you look incredible now. I like what they've done. It's like, I like how the cheekbones are very prominent now. Like, it's a whole, I don't know, maybe this is odd for you to talk about your cheekbones.
No.
I have to explain to people what you look like, and also I'm becoming fascinated with it as I talk. Right. But I looked at the website, and it's like a Disneyland for anyone who's into, or even if they're not. Like, it's what you put on there, it's incredible. It's like all Thank these bells you. And whistles. It's really elaborate. How long have you been working on the website?
We launched my site
probably. When you say we,
I'm with the company. SMC Revenue is the first of our kind, basically, mm-hmm. to contract the most beautiful trans women as models. So we're like the Playboy Bunnies of transsexual porn.
Okay.
And they're an amazing company. We launched my site, I think I was the third girl that they signed, probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think my site's been active and winning tons of awards and still has a huge fan base, so that's really cool.
No, it's really extensive, so it must be...
Yeah, and I had full control over everything, so that's why you see all the elaborate things with the costumes and all my different looks is because I had full control over everything, so...
I watched a scene you had on there, I think, where it was this guy, and he was something about your book. It was like a book review scene.
Giovanni Francesca.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
He's one of the top straight porn stars, and he actually did the specific scene with me, a miniseries thing for my site.
Really?
It was very sexy.
It was really hot. Do you go to your people and you're like, hey, here's what I want to do for the site, and you come with your ideas, and they're like, okay, here's what we can do?
It's so easy. All I have to anytime that I want to shoot something, all I just simply do is send them my little inspiration ideas, my pictures, or things that I've, you know, kind of collected, and I just say, all right, I want to shoot next week, and then they mm-hmm. say, well, here's the talent that you could choose from, and that I pick who I want, and just do it.
So I was thinking about this when I was looking at your site. I mean, obviously your brand is huge now. Like, you know what you're... You really know what you're fucking doing. But
I have a great team.
Yeah, but that does just come automatically. I mean,
right? I had a great team of people.
I think though, like I'm trying to figure out, like, so you're 18 when you first have your first surgery.
Mm-hmm.
From that point forward, when is it like, okay, I'm gonna be a brand? Because you don't wake up. I mean, everyone's business oriented to a certain degree if they're successful now, but that's like an evolution of sorts, right?
I've always been that way though. Like, I finished school when I was 16 years old, so I can get in the nursing program early. So by the time that I was 18, I stopped doing that a long time ago. I had a corporate job at the Verizon Corporation when I was 18, you know, 60 grand a year in insurance benefits, which was good for an 18-year-old.
Yeah, sure.
I've always just been very, very business-minded. I went to school in Paris, opened up my first store when I was 20 years old in Michigan Avenue.
I went to Paris in October. You have to give me recommendations.
Oh, definitely will, for mm-hmm. sure.
Paris, motherfucker. Right. What now?
I mean, it was great. So I've always had like a really entrepreneurial. I'm a hustler. I just like to
mm-hmm.
do different things and stuff.
So you're all about your paper, as they say on the streets.
Paper. Damn right.
Now, when you were first coming through your transformation at 18, and you were working, and at that point, like, you already knew you were in a place where you're like, I need mm-hmm. to be a woman. What is the feeling? Explain to me. I'm a little naive. Just help
always,
me.
I always never felt like I needed to be anything. I grew up being myself.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I just switched and mm-hmm. turned into Mia.
Of course.
I lived that way my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that changes, I just physically added that enhancements.
You just enhance yourself physically. And you're like, hey, I only like dudes.
I've always only liked boys.
Did you ever, have you been with a woman before?
Yeah,
ever? So you tried them out at least.
Yeah.
And you were like over it.
I lost my virginity to a girl, actually.
What about women don't you like?
It's not that I don't like.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, you're not into.
I just don't have a sexual attraction to the genitalia. I love everything about women.
It's the vagina, right?
I don't have that male instinct.
It's a soul killer, that vagina.
I don't have that male instinct that makes you look at it and say, I have to fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that.
But an asshole, you're like, I gotta.
Not really my thing either. I'm usually in my real relationships, in real life, I'm a submissive and a bottom only. My men love are alphas. So on film, yes, I'm mostly a top because that's something that's...
People want to see that.
They want to see that. In real life, my intimacy is all about being submissive. So
I have my own dom subgenre that I've been practicing for like 5.5 years. And I was... When we were talking about... Me and Lane were talking about having you on, I was like, I would be really into treating her like a woman.
Well, that's what I am.
Yeah, I know. In the sense that, like, I couldn't blow anybody yet. I'm not there yet. I couldn't blow you. I could probably touch your penis and do stuff with it. But it would definitely be, you would be my chick. And that's how you like it. That's what you're saying.
I love it, yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. And now I saw a Vine of you booty clapping. Can you booty clap?
Not in this outfit, but
no,
yeah.
I mean in general. I'm not saying for now. I'm not saying, you know, it's radio. Because that's what you do. That's something you had to do.
I have a big booty. It's major.
It's a purposeful thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, boys seem to like that for some reason. Round of applause. Gotcha.
Booty clap is an art form when it's done properly.
Yeah.
How'd you learn how to do that? When did you learn?
I have a lot of girlfriends from Chicago, so those chicks are kind of...
So Chi-Town chicks.
Chi-Town chicks, little ratchet, little hood.
You from the hood?
No.
Are you deep in the streets?
No, I'm a suburban chick.
Because you seem so refined and very, like, well, present yourself very well. Like, you're speaking very good, like, you know, job interview right now. But that could be misleading. You could definitely
be. No, that's real life. Okay. I mean, I'll say I have my hood pass, you know?
Sure.
You know, in Chicago, my family is predominantly African American, Jamaican. So when I had my teenage years up north, I got to be around that towards the end of my development as an adult. Uh-huh. So I guess that kind of, I kept that little bit of ratchetness somewhere.
Trinidadian and Jamaican are two different things,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Are they very, very different?
I mean, the culture is pretty similar in any like Bohemian kind of culture.
The way they sound
island
is similar,
yeah,
though, right?
But Jamaicans speak with a patois dialect.
What do you know anything about Trinidadians? Do you ever get offended if people are like, are you Trinidadian? Like, you know how Chinese people get mad if you think they're Korean or something else?
I'm so many things. Like, I mean, those are just the three main things, but I'm like a mud of everything. Like,
I used to work at this gym when I first came here. I ran this gym, and there would be a lot of Trinidadian and Jamaican women that would take care of these, like, rich white Jewish kids.
Oh, yeah, that's normal.
And it would be really interesting to me to go, like, to hear them talk with these kids thinking, like, this is like their sponge ears. Yeah. And this woman's like, Skyla! Like, just screaming. Can you imagine that woman talking to you all? Skyla, get off me! You quit hitting your brother! Like, just going off. Like, that kid's going to talk like that.
Well, my main influences in my life growing up, same thing. My nannies or my grandmothers were all, you know, African-American women. So mm-hmm. they were my biggest influence as far as, like, being a woman and learning how to run a household and take care of a family and stuff like that. So I grew up with black.
Are you really domestic?
Yes.
So, like, when you have a dude and he comes over, it's like dinner and booty shorts and the whole. I added that last part.
They usually tend to like that. I've been into two relationships for the last decade. So uh-huh. I was married when I was 20, and I was engaged after him for about 4.5 years.
So you're a serial monogamous?
I am.
But whoever dates you has to, just like any other one.
I've never really dated. I'm learning to date now. I never really dated. Like, when I was old enough to marry, I was married to a very wealthy New Yorker businessman.
You're a little spoiled princess, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, in that regard. I mean, I'm a hustler, but I like being taken care of, too.
Yeah.
But no, I mean...
It's expensive being a woman.
It is very fucking expensive. So expensive.
I mean, your outfit's really elaborate. Like, you look great, but that shit costs money.
Nails, hair, all that
stuff.
Yeah.
It must cost you a lot in general. Does it cost you... Do you think it costs you more to maintain yourself because you transition to something? I mean, just by the obvious surgery. It's
just
the same,
being a woman,
right?
In general,
right?
It's expensive.
You know what's great? Is the way, like, plastic surgery is working now. Women look like what you're doing to yourself is exactly what a lot of women already...
Oh, no.
So,
it's normal.
You already look... I mean, you look amazing.
Thank you.
But even more so, all these other girls can't compare. It's all looking the same. Isn't that crazy? Now, do you have to tell guys what you are? Like, how does a guy, because you're not in regular places, are you? Like, in a dive bar?
No.
You in a dive bar would be great, though.
I avoid any kind of situations like that unless I'm doing media.
Okay.
Then I'm
Why?
Like, okay.
Because you're
I just don't like being bothered. I just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like being, like, approached. And anytime that I go places, guys kind of just swarm me.
Where do you go where you don't get bothered?
Home. With my two pit bulls.
Yeah, but how do you invite people? Oh, so you're
no,
you
I'm
meet
home.
People. How do you meet people then?
Well, I have a huge name, so people just kind of follow me.
guys reach out if you think a guy's cute. Like,
I'm just learning how to date. Like I said, I've never really had, you know, that whole thing. But I'm doing pretty well. I just signed up for that. So shout out to you guys.
So yeah, if you see her, just like swipe right and figure it out.
You know, I'm just learning all this new stuff, like technology stuff, and this whole dating era. It's like really, it's nuts. I'm getting into my social media more, you know, nowadays. But yeah, I never really had to date, so I'm learning how to do that now.
And you're only going to do it through people that reach out to you. You're not going to go out and meet anybody.
I mean, I would like, you know,
to. We should go on a bar crawl, me and you.
Oh, God. You want to see people how they react to me?
I think that would be funny.
Oh, my God.
And we should film it. Or just secretly film it.
Instagram
we go on
video.
Exactly.
This is why she doesn't go out.
We should film like a ton of little snippets of videos and then like totally do like a thing where like, okay, so this guy just said this. It would be hilarious.
I made your block hot just walk into your door.
Well, this is Queens. Yeah. Even though it's like I'm white part of Queens, it's really white now.
Yeah. Everybody's just like, huh? What? It's like, Lainey, let's get in the building.
No, you have features that are very exotic.
Yeah.
Period. That's what it is. Well, and you have a huge ego, and your ego is huge. People, you're super obsessed with yourself, and people can feel that.
I'm just like, why should be obsessed with her?
Oh my God, something's going on. I don't know what it is, but I gotta figure it out. That's what people do. When you were figured everything out at four, I get that you said that, but I totally understand what you mean. Doesn't that? I know you have a supportive family, but you have to live in the real world at some point, mm-hmm. right? Did it ever get to a point where you had to kind of battle depression? Because being different, I'm different, not different like you're different, mm-hmm. but different in my own way.
Yeah.
And whenever it's like a thing where you know you're different, where you don't feel like you really fit in.
I think most adolescents go through that.
Yeah.
I mean, in any capacity, it doesn't mm-hmm. matter if you're trans or not. I think all young people are going through things like that. So I would say it's a normal thing.
Did you go through that?
When I was really, really, you know, going towards puberty, everybody goes through that. So I think the years of puberty and I'm developing and I'm, you know, noticing how men are now responding to me mm-hmm. because they're now sexualizing me mm-hmm. or everybody, you know what I mean? Boys, when they go through puberty, they just want to screw everything. Sure. So it was just like, I started seeing that and actually been really afraid. I was scared of sexuality.
Why?
I don't know. I just was like very uncomfortable with mm-hmm. the idea of that. Probably more so because of religious things and growing up in the South. My childhood was down in
Tennessee. Were you religious?
Tennessee.
You were raised religious?
I was raised in the Bible Belt in Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
I mean, I spent most of my life in church. And so growing up, learning what people's opinions are based off of what they read from, you know, books or whatever religions that they're on, it was a conflict spiritually mm-hmm. because I have a great connection, I feel, with the universe, God, whatever it is that mm-hmm. is out there. And to feel like I made people feel like it could be a mistake that I am who I am. Was definitely something that was hurtful and a conflict, but there's no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned that.
Sure.
And I'm exactly who I'm supposed to be, exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So now being an adult, looking back on that, I would have told that little kid, like, everything's going to be fine. You're going to be exactly who you want to be.
Yeah.
So,
Isn't that refreshing when you can figure out, like, that's something I've come to grips with now in my early 30s is, like, protecting that 10-year-old boy.
Right.
Like that's like really what you're doing now.
Yeah.
Because that's you're beating yourself. I've been beating myself up for years and years and years. And it wasn't until I was like, hey, talk to that kid and tell him, like, don't worry. Like, you got him. Like, everything's good.
You're good. You're going to be fine.
So you're saying that what you went through in your adolescence, you don't think
no
is too far
than
off
else.
Than anybody else.
No, no different than anybody else.
Because there is a degree, like, I've heard a lot of stories where people that are going through that kind of change, it's hard for them to deal with that.
Well, sure.
I feel like you have a pretty good rap on it. I mean, this could be just what you do because
no,
it's an interview, but
no.
I don't know. I mean, I see that's real.
To be quite honest about the whole thing, because I had such a supportive family, it was super protective of me because they knew the real realities of the world. My family was so, like, made it a point to protect me from anything that made
How
me feel different.
How did they do
different.
That?
My father made it, like, a law that if you made me feel any different, if there was anything said to me, there was going to be some consequences for
okay.
that. And I have a huge family, like mm-hmm. a huge, huge, huge family. So I was always surrounded by love and people that cared about me. So the outside world, they were just extras in a movie as far as I was concerned.
Sure.
I think that's mostly the reason why.
Was there like a chat? Do you remember a specific talk you had with a family member that really resonates with you now? That is something you carry with you, or it's just an overall vibe and a world they created around you to be supportive for who you were.
You just have a great family, and you know, I just was really loved.
That's awesome.
So I was lucky. Now, when I didn't realize that anything was different, like I said, until I was 18, mm-hmm. and I met other trans women for the first time. I'd never met anyone like myself.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing those stories, I was just like,
"This is in Chicago."
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just like, "This." I feel sorry for you guys. Like, you really were going through that
battle.
People
go through some shit, right?
They went through those stereotypical things like you're talking about. Just being neglected and mistreated because they were who they are,
mm-hmm.
Or felt that kind of way. Because people are afraid of what they don't understand, generally.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so you would think that your family would be the most supportive, but a lot of times they feel like it's a reflection of them. Like, you being who you are is going to make them look bad. So I definitely realized I was super, super, super lucky. Definitely.
It's so cool to talk. I didn't know what I, you know, when you, I was really excited to talk to you just solely based off of, I love people that go through any adversity at all that we can actually talk about. And I didn't know what version of you I wanted. You know, I'm like, well, do I want the version of her? Do I want her to have like a huge, like she's been through so much shit that we had to talk about all the awful shit. And then it didn't occur to me, like, it did for a minute, like, maybe she's just got, she's really well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably better. This is more interesting than you going through shit. You know what I mean? So I was sitting here thinking to myself, I'm going to be talking to my audience right now because me had to walk away for a second. I was thinking that I need to definitely put together what I want to talk about so my thoughts are collected so I know I'm not just, I don't know, and totally improvising everything. But you're like,
nice. I'm cool.
Yeah, you're nice.
I'm cool. I'm chill.
Yeah, like you're a normal, you're just like any attractive woman, like self-obsessed, man-eater, just takes dudes and spits them out and they act crazy. Like,
you know what? Most of my adversities in real life came, oddly enough, when I was fully transformed and fully into my female form.
Oh, really?
My issues came with relationships as I was fully myself.
Can I have an example?
Well, domestic violence.
Really?
And relationships. I think a lot of women go through that, and it's a topic that is kind of, anybody who's dealing with it tries to just keep it super, super quiet. But I dealt with that in one of my relationships. My husband was super, super possessive, and mm-hmm. like I wasn't even allowed to go to the grocery store alone. I couldn't be around any male family members. If you had a penis, you were not allowed around me without his presence.
But you have
there.
A penis.
Yeah.
That's counterproductive.
Didn't matter to him. I can't fuck myself.
So
real women issues is what I dealt
with. Oh, yeah, yeah.
As an adult. I really didn't face a lot of adversities. I was so focused on education that was drilled into my mind.
When did you start porn? How old were you?
I had just turned 19 the day I did my first film.
So your husband was with you or your fiance?
I married him a year after I did my first
film. So he knew that this is your lifestyle you're going to leave. You were allowed to work, though.
I did the first film. Like, I didn't even think anything of it. Literally, when I did my first project, I thought I was just going to shoot a photo shoot. And I got there, and they were like,
the old switcheroo?
Yeah. They're like, we want you to star in this film. And they wrote me a check, and they were just like,
that's how they do it.
I was like, well, I guess I'm doing it.
It's called the hard sign.
And then, I just, like, forgot about it. Like, 3 months went by, and I just forgot about it. I didn't think this was going to be a career. I just did it kind of to shock my family, really more of what it was.
But you thought they were so supportive. Oh, you mean like as a,
hey,
guess
what? I thought
it'd
be hilarious, you know, because I had mentioned it when I was younger, like 17 or something. I was like, I should do porn just to make a joke out of it. So when I did, I was kind of just like, hey, look at this. You know, like, slid the DVD on.
How old were you when you first started having sex? Real quick before
I lost my virginity to a female when I was 16.
So normal-ish.
And like, I was almost 17, and then my first male experience, I was actually 18.
Oh, okay. So you waited a little bit.
I was dating a lawyer at the time.
So you like career-oriented men. You need a profession.
You have to be a hustler in some capacity.
You need a doctor, a lawyer.
You need to be out there. You have to inspire.
So no longshoremen, no union reps.
You have to be able to inspire. You know what? It doesn't matter what you do. As long as you are doing the best you can and hustling hard, I respect it.
Are you a racist woman? Do you only date black men? Or is a white guy have a shot?
I actually have never dated a black guy.
Look at you.
I wouldn't say I'm racist, but I've never dated a black guy.
Vagina is racist. You don't have one. That's why you're not racist.
Maybe.
Vagina has a type. You ever notice this? Vagina has a type. And it's funny because I'm never anybody's type but sleep with everybody. So I'm like, so whenever I talk to a woman, I'm like, so your type is it's like this small, right?
Okay.
But until you start making people laugh and you're charismatic and you're like, oh, someone appeals to my intellect and my logic, then my vagina opens up.
Attraction is multifaceted.
But in a lineup, it's like, well, I typically, I'm accustomed. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I'm typically used... My relationships, the 10 years, they were both Italian men.
Okay.
I think I like that dominance. I have to have an alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it backfires because it can be too alpha. But I do have a general type of thing.
How rough can a man be with you?
Oh, I love it.
So, like, hair pulling you can handle? Yes. All that? Because I watched a couple of your scenes.
If I'm not being choked, if I'm not being...
So you can go through all that stuff.
But
good.
With my own personal lever. I don't know if I can do that on film.
Okay, all right. That makes sense.
I have to be in control in that environment because I run that show.
Because
so
on film...
I'm the alpha on film.
Because I'm a really, like, I like doing a whole, like, session of a good choke and spitting and hair pulling and a good rough...
We're not going to do the spit.
Well, whatever. I'm not saying you. I'm saying this is Josh does. It's not always about you, man. Jeez. God, this is Josh does.
Just use the spit for lube and we're good.
So, and I was watching your scenes, like, and I was thinking, oh, maybe they don't, like, manhandle her because she's, like, done up and they don't want to mess with her. Now it makes sense. This is why.
They're not allowed to do anything.
Then,
I don't want
because you're the boss.
I have to be in control in that environment. That's how I'm able to separate
the two.
Me as a real person and... Me as a
that's your separation. Yeah. You're in control of the filming and then
yeah.
in personal life. You get thrown through a wall. You're okay with that. I had to take a moment to contemplate that.
Flashback.
That's nice. Yeah, no, anyways. So you're here in New York City for a few days.
Yes.
Just hanging out, doing some interviews.
All
and
media.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up? I mean, we're not done by at all, but I want to know, like, do you have anything coming up?
A that book.
You have a book.
My first book should be coming out by the end of the summer.
And it has a lot of juicy details.
It will have a lot of juicy details.
Any pictures?
They want a lot of pictures. I'm not sure what my family will allow me to release as far as imagery is concerned,
Okay.
But I do have their consent to talk about my life in general and a lot of details, which I didn't think I would have that support either.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have their support for that.
So how long is this book? How long did it take you? Did you write it? You're a ghostwriter?
We've been working on the project since the fall of last year and kind of putting the details together for the deal. And I think we're going to try to go for like press and launch during Pride, New York Pride. So it's going to be coming out very soon.
That's awesome.
One of hopefully, I think, three different projects. So.
Three different books?
Yeah.
You do a children's book?
That could be fun.
Like a pop-up?
Probably use an alias. But yeah, I could do that too.
Do you want a family?
Yes, of course.
You do.
I've always had.
You want to make it as traditional as possible.
When I was married, my husband already had a daughter. He was much older than me, so I was a stepmother very early on.
Mm-hmm.
When I was engaged, my ex-fiance also had two daughters as well. So I've always, you know, had a family situation.
Mm-hmm. And you're based in L.A. now.
I live in Hollywood, yeah, in the hills.
Now, so you're like you're a Midwest woman that now lives in the West Coast.
Good old California.
What do you prefer?
I love Midwest people, culture, food, lifestyle much more than I love the LA stereotypical lifestyle, but I love the California way of living. I love the weather, most importantly. That's one thing I do not miss about the Midwest is the winters.
So
I cannot do another winter.
I hear what you're saying. This year's been fucking brutal. I'm originally from San Diego, okay?
Nice.
And I always talk about this, even in my act. I really like San Diego because it's home and my family's based there and we're like generations that are based in actual San Diego.
Nice.
When it's a transient city, you know, a lot of people just move there.
Yeah.
But it's annoying because the people that just move there, they're not happy for any other reason but the weather. Like literally they have it's because just the weather. If you took the weather away, like I'm happy here. Like even though I wake up every day with consequences, I could get hit in the head with a guy with a hammer just on the street here. That happened last week.
Oh God.
There's consequences. But I love New York. There's a reason why I'm happy. There's like the culture. There's an environment. It's just something electric about it, right? So when I always talk to people from like big cities like Chicago, where they kind of have that vibe, and then they move to California, it's obvious, okay, I moved for the weather. But your career, too, is there. But you know what I mean? Like the weather is the selling point. If you lose the weather, you're fucked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
You're trying not to offend LA. I get it. You're just trying to...
But like, I love living in California, like I said. I just
I love it too, but...
If Chicago didn't have those harsh winters,
I
would still be in Chicago. But yeah, I also lived in the suburbs. I didn't live in the city. My family did not allow me to go to downtown Chicago until I was like 17 years old. And I snuck out on the train for the first time and went to downtown Chicago to explore, and they were furious. But yeah, I'm a suburban chick all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're Miss Suburbia. That's great.
Yeah.
Lovely. How did you get your voice is so honey.
Well, thank you.
It's very honey-like. How did you do that? Is that your natural voice? Look at that.
It'd be kind of weird if I had a big baritone voice.
Well, no, I know, like, but you could disguise it, right? I watched this.
Most girls cannot do that very. They'll try, but you can always tell there's something different about that girl.
Yeah, it's funny how you go into Southern draw and then you can kind of come back. Look at you tiptoeing.
I didn't even realize that was happening right now. It means I got comfortable.
Finally, you let loose.
I let my guard down, and you just caught me slipping.
The perpetual vagina
opened. Caught me slipping. No pun intended.
Do you want to be a rapper? Do you want to be an artist? Do you want to sing songs? Like, are you just be a business person? What happens?
I'm an artist in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So writing this book is going to be an amazing part of it. My biggest thing that I'm excited about is doing my erotic poetry books. I love writing poetry. I'm working on music. I'm working with Masterpiece manager Jay Tweezy has been working with me for the past year, putting together some different songs and putting together an album. So there may be an album at some point. And I think we're going to actually work on the first single next month.
Wow. So you've basically music, writing, dipping anything into artistic, everything you can do.
I owned my own store. I went to fashion school in Paris, you know, so anything with art and beauty, I'm just all about it.
So erotic poetry is like, I walked into the room and
trash can. There's a YouTube episode where I actually just, spout off some of it. So you should go on my YouTube
channel. Oh, really? Yeah. We got to plug that.
You can actually check it out.
And do people masturbate to erotic poetry? People can masturbate to pretty much anything, I'm realizing.
Well, I want
to
do an audio version of it. So if we do an audio version, I think people would definitely be masturbating to my voice. Pull it out.
It's almost like, if you ever hear about, like, so I'm a Michael Jackson fanatic.
Okay.
Like, I'm weird about it. I'm very weird. Anyways, there's a story about him, how his real voice is very deep, or was very deep, where he would call places as his actual voice, like hello, it would be very deep.
Okay.
But when he actually is on, he's
and his character.
That's doo-doo talk. Like it would be
that makes sense. I mean he was a very rock man.
Yeah. Very deep voice.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
Like where you going? Like that hey, come on, Mia, where the fuck you going, man?
It's that would trip me out. To have like heard him talk in that voice, I think I would know how to take that.
Plus, the dude, he could throw his voice very easily because you forget, like, the guy is crazy beatboxer because all those sounds you hear in his music, he layers them with his own voice.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, we're learning everything.
Today. You're a big fan. You
I'm
know.
A very big fan. I feel like you almost, that was almost like an insult.
Was it?
The way you said it.
No.
It's almost an insult.
I know. You just have that kind of condescending tone. If someone's your fan,
I'm fanatical. I should be a historian.
Okay.
That's what I should be.
Well, maybe you could do that.
Sorry I'm bringing this out here, but it had to come out. That's what I really feel.
You should see his face. He's like getting really serious.
I'm very animated.
Like it's a real deal. He's a fanatic.
How many tattoos do you have?
Two.
Where's the second one?
On my tummy.
On your stomach. Yeah. Is it around the belly button?
I don't know. Like a sun? On the right-hand side, it's a rose.
I think I've seen that. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Are you glad you got them? Because I know a lot of people are getting rid of theirs.
It's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's no big deal. This was a cover-up. On my stomach, I had a tattoo when I was 13. I snuck and got this little random tattoo for my sister.
You're so rebellious.
I was trying to be. You know what I mean? Because everything just seemed too perfect. So I was like,
that's what I was going to say. Life was just too simple for you.
I was definitely a little rebellious as time went on, for sure.
Did you have a lot of friends?
Tons.
Really?
Tons of friends. That's another thing. It wasn't just the family thing. I am very eclectic, and I can blend with different social groups pretty easily.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, my best feature about myself is I was very adaptable. So I was a violinist from the age of 8 years old. So I was
Can you
always
still play?
I haven't played in a decade, and that's something you need to, play constantly.
I learned to play harmonica. It's pretty impressive. Yeah? I think I'm like a prodigy.
Nice.
So you played violin.
I was a Suzuki violinist trained by ear at the age of 8. I was in gymnastics. I was in Boy Scouts. Just because my best friend and my first boyfriend, my love,
was
a Boy Scout, and he wanted me with him all the time, so I did it just for him.
So you could tie a knot like a motherfucker.
I could do all that. Cook you some food in the middle of the wilderness, make you a pie, a cobbler.
Hey, go outside right now and walk a lady across the street. Prove it.
I can buy you a pie here, though. But no, I mean, I was very adaptable. I had all kinds of friends and different ways of life. So I have tons of friends. Still even now.
Do you tap dance? No. You ever seen the movie Coming to America?
But I can run in heels.
You can.
I can run in heels.
Louboutin all day?
All day.
It's like sprinting.
I can.
Why do you know how to do that?
You know what? When I was first learning how to walk in heels, my girlfriends had me wearing heels, like, constantly. Like, they're like, you need to be able to run in your heels. And the test of me being able to really be a woman in their eyes was me being able to just run in heels if you have
to. So you had to prove your womanhood.
Yeah. Isn't that a bitch? To those chicks, yeah. And they're all transsexuals.
So of course.
The hell they think they are.
Yeah, yeah, of
course. None of them can run in heels, by the way.
You ever seen the show Botched?
I have. I've seen an episode
before. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Now, you went through some serious shit where, like, if someone were to mess something up, mm-hmm. that would fuck stuff up royally. Just like anything else. When you were picking out people to work with, like, when you're going to go get a procedure done, mm-hmm. how did you go about doing that? Just referrals? You saw someone you knew because you're in the industry? Or how did you figure it out?
Well, my surgeon was very conservative and one of the top, if not the top plastic surgeon in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And my family, you know, wanted me to go to the best
okay.
person. And they wanted me to go to the best because he was conservative. Because
mm-hmm.
they didn't want me to just turn into a different person overnight. And mm-hmm. I think that was more important for me as well, as like we have small children and I didn't want to drastically change myself instantly and scare the children or freak them out.
Wow. You know what I mean? Yeah, I didn't think about
so
that.
So we worked with a very conservative surgeon and we did things over time. Dr. Bayon of Chicago.
How long was that process?
My breasts were done at 18. My facial feminization was done when I was 21.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think at 25, we did a touch-up to kind of refine things a little bit. And I went more for a dramatic look then. And I'm like, okay, we did all the conservative crap. Let's get out. I want big tits. I'm in porn. Yeah. I'm a porn star now.
What are you now? Like a D-cup?
Yeah, I have huge boobs. Mm-hmm. So now I actually would like to reverse all the porn body and make everything more, yeah.
Not your ass, though.
A little bit smaller. It'd be nice. Big old Puerto Rican donkey booty.
Yeah, it is big.
It's huge.
It is big. Amen to that. Yeah. Why would you do that? I get what you're saying. I'm selfish.
Well, for me, like, I just want to be a little bit more able to blend in my life. Because I'm no longer filming.
Oh, you're done?
I haven't filmed adult stuff in 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I announced my retirement like a year ago.
Oh, my bad.
I was drunk on New Year's.
You were drunk saying, it's a wrap.
I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say it. Fuck it, you guys. I've been retired a whole year and a half. You didn't even know.
So you're not... What made you come to that? It's like it's done?
Really, I just need to step away from it. I was kind of bored of it. And I think because my last partner was also an adult performer, there was no separation. Remember I told you I was able to separate things really easily? There was no separation because in filming with him, I was submissive. And in real life, I was submissive. And there was no separation. And it kind of almost became like he was competing against me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like really scary thing. A really scary time for both of us, I think. And I made the decision in the beginning to respect him because his wish was for me to retire.
Okay.
And allow him to take the lead in his career. And so I did that. For multiple reasons, one of them being to support and respect my future husband.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it just kind of got redundant. I won everything, and I was nominated for everything, and I was considered, you know, one of the top three in the world. So, like, where is there to go in that world?
Yeah.
Except for to evolve my brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it forced me to challenge myself, to be more creative, to get more in touch with my fans on a personal level, with social media, to do more mainstream projects and really just get myself involved.
Okay.
Versus just shooting a film and leaving it alone.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now,
no challenge in it. I need challenge.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. I mean, after you've done it,
you've won and you get kicked all the ass. Yeah, like, what are you going to do? I'm just sitting on the top doing nothing.
So, the question I guess I have now is, so you've done all of that, and now you're in a place where you want to figure out like what the next move is for you, which I think you already know.
We've already been figuring it out.
Yeah, we already know.
I'm a great publicist. We've developed my plan for over a few years now, so everything's going pretty good.
Nice.
I think we're going to see a big jump in things in the next year.
Do you? So how do people see you? So I'm sure you make a lot of appearances.
I do.
But you don't feature dance or anything like that.
No.
Okay, so that's something that... Is it not in the cards, or you wouldn't just not?
I just don't know how those girls do it.
Mm-hmm. It is it's beat your body up a bit.
Yeah.
So your stuff is more
I'm a luxurious lounger. I like to lounge.
I can tell. I barely know you. I feel like
I can do that for days on end.
So you'll go to like, I don't know, any conference or something like that, or make appearances?
I support all my girlfriends. You know, luckily I'm in with a team of people that are, as you know, top penthouse models and top of their game in their industry. So I'm... So I support them in all their things. They support me in all my stuff. Yeah. So if my girlfriends are feature dancing, I'm always, I'm kind of co-headlining with them because I'm showing up to support them.
Sure,
sure. So I still kind of get all that attention as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a win-win for me.
Totally.
Without all the work.
Yeah, you just sit there and just drink champagne and shit.
Yeah, all night.
Story of your life.
Pictures, tweet. That's
story of your fucking life.
It is. It's my life.
We're out here hustling, busting our humps, and meanwhile, Mia's sitting down drinking champagne.
Oh, that's true.
Talking about if she's going to get her boobs smaller. God forbid.
I am a bit of a spoiled brat.
Yeah, but are you a nice person in your real life? You can be real here with us.
I am so fucking beautiful. Inside.
And humble.
Like, my inside, I think, was what makes me the absolute most beautiful.
So you're fun to be with. Like, when you're, are you a loyal friend?
I'm a Leo. You're completely a loyal. Fucking writer. Extremely generous. Like, that's just how I am. Yeah. My beauty is inside, for sure. But outside, not so bad either.
Not so bad at all. You're doing all right. If the inside is half as good as the outside, I think you're going to be okay. I think you're going to be all right. You might be something. You just might.
Maybe a little bit.
So, plug your shit for everybody.
Gosh. We'll look out for my upcoming book.
Yes.
It'll be coming out soon. Mia-Isabella.com. We still have the site that's active and running.
Great site, by the way. That's the one I'm talking about, right? Yeah. You don't have anything different.
Okay. Yeah. My social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is THE Mia, M-I-A, Isabella. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff coming up. And the summer is just starting, so I'm going to be everywhere.
So social
Lainey
media.
Lainey keeps me so busy.
Like, yeah, Lainey is a fucking
she keeps me so busy with appearances.
She can't even answer text messages from me. How big do I got to get? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just calculate where I'm at now in my career, and then when she actually starts responding immediately to my text and know, like, okay, I've made it.
There's so much stuff going on. Like, we did a pilot for, like we were talking about earlier, a reality show before. I'm not sure I really want to do reality TV, so that's something I have to really think about. But we're getting a lot of offers. We're working on getting me a manager.
Nice.
An agent so I could do more TV stuff.
Are you Sons acting? Of
Anarchy. I did Sons of Anarchy.
Cool.
Their final season. I did Grand Theft Auto. I'm the first trans person to be a video game character.
That's right. My buddy who plays Grand Theft Auto, I told him you're going to be on, and he knew who you were.
And you can hear my southern drawl in that.
Yeah. Oh, you do it on purpose.
No. Oh. I just got comfortable. Oh. I nailed that shit. I was so scared. I was so scared.
What do
so
you
scared.
Say in the game? What's one of the
There was 900 lines, so I don't even know. And I just remember just going into this mode when the engineer was telling me how he wanted me to say things, and I just shut off and turned into...
Nice.
I don't even remember. I just remember him saying, nobody's nailed this in 40 minutes. You did 900 lines in 40 minutes. You're amazing. I'm just like, okay, I'm done. Yeah.
Dude, voiceover works great.
It was a blast. It was such a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I loved it.
Are you taking acting classes so you can start getting the mix?
No, I haven't done any of that.
Because you're like, you're saying any mainstream job you get is going to be based off of your persona anyways. Are you actually looking to kind of dive in?
You know
in?
What? I'm looking forward to anything that comes my way and just taking it, playing it by ear. Like I said, I'm an artist in all forms, so whatever it is, whether it's TV, that is the big kickoff, or my literature projects, whatever it is.
Okay.
I'm going to do it all.
Be a pop singer and a rock singer. So have you seen Coming to America?
Yes. Oh, yeah, you did ask me that.
All right. So this is why I'm bringing that up, because you know there's a part where he's trying to find his queen, and he keeps going out on these dates, and there's one girl in particular that he meets with who's, like, really pretty and, like, 80s pretty, like, the curly hair, like, light-skinned black girl, and she's like, I want to be a pop singer and a rock singer and direct my own video of the star of my own video. It's like, you remember this?
I remember that.
You're embodying that woman.
Clearly it never happened for her.
It did not. You're taking it to a new level. You're doing it. Well, I love you. I had so much fun. I'm so glad you made it in, and we're hanging out, and it's fun.
That's Mia Isabella. I want to thank her for coming out. She's awesome. Make sure you guys check her out everywhere. I mean, literally, if you Google Mia Isabella, you will see all the stuff she does. Check out her website, her Instagram, her Twitter, all that stuff. I think she also has an album coming out soon. So there's a lot of shit she's going to be doing, a book. But yeah, make sure you keep up with her, because she's well worth the keeping up with. Now, make sure you subscribe to the show, because that's what we need. I appreciate all the emails we're getting back and all the feedback. Keep sending those into me. Also, we just started Twitter, an Instagram page, Slam Pig Podcast. It's at Slam Pig Podcast, and all these guests are putting up pictures of themselves. It's awesome. Like, it's a really great thing, and you make sure you follow that page, because if you want to see hot chicks, they're going to be there. Everyone who's on the show is going to have a picture on there up, and if they're not there yet, they're coming. So make sure you go follow that. Also, you can see me at City Steam in Hartford, Connecticut, headlining June 26th, 27th, three shows, 8 o'clock on Friday, and then a 7:30 and 10 p.m. on Saturday. So make sure you come out there. I'll be working with my friend Harry Tarjanian. He'll be opening for me. It'll be a good time. And you can also see Dayton on Set. The second season premieres in July, but we are releasing sketches as we speak. The first sketch, An Inappropriate Conversation, was just released yesterday. So make sure you go to youtube.com/datingonset and subscribe there too and see some more funny shit. A lot of cool things happening, folks. I really appreciate your support, and I will catch you on the flip side.